Hey everyone, and welcome back to Tales of Esperon. I know it's been a while. As you may know, the quarantine measures for COVID hit our production a little harder than expected. With shifting work schedules, we were no longer able to keep up with our normal production schedule. I just wanted to take this time to thank you all so much for supporting us in these times. I know we haven't been putting out new content, and the fact that you're still tuning in means the world to me. I've got some good news for you, though. We're back. Not only that, we have some exciting things in store for you in the coming weeks, but more on that later. If you're new to the show, we are an improvisational and collaborative storytelling podcast that's focused on telling fun character stories. Now, what does that mean? Well, we sit down at our desks, pretend to be someone we're not, and then record it all to share with you. We're here to weave a tale for you to enjoy, second by second, line by line. And the best part of it all is that we have no idea what will happen next. Seriously, every 5 minutes something new and crazy is happening. Our story is being told with a game system you may or may not be familiar with, Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. We loosely rely on this TTRPG system to tell our own stories, independent of the lore and the pretty problematic content that often comes with Dungeons & Dragons out of the box. In short, this just means that we use dice to decide what happens next to our characters, until we find a better system. Roll high? Maybe you do an awesome double backflip and slam dunk your way to the finals. Roll low? Maybe you fail to notice something dangerous sitting right inside of a grave. Let's roll the dice and find out what happens next. Together. To pick up where we last left off, each of you, after helping rebind Tedward's soul to his body with the help of Bayette, the changeling shopkeep who runs the Shifting Willows, each of you were sort of gifted a favor between Rose and Bayette, where you could explore the shop and take something that called to you. That could have been anything. And in a few instances, the shop took you to some places and made you some things that were tuned specifically to you. After your own individual personal journeys, you all have spent some time making your way through the shop and browsing all the goods that you would want to purchase. Right now, we'll set the scene with the four of you, along with Rose, standing around the small glass store counter in the center of this very, very tall, long, and thin shop. A tall, thin, windowless shop. And Bayette is currently seated on a stool behind the counter. Through the glass, you can see light reflecting through these prisms of jewels and expensive little knickknacks that are behind the display case. And Bayette says, "Did you find everything you required here?"
Did I roll for how well that fabric's, like how well I sewed the fabric?
I think you did at one point. It was like, you did a decent job, but I'm pretty sure you probably would have spent time and made it just as good as you needed to.
Okay, cool. And yes, everything has been satisfactory, at least to me.
Good. That is wonderful to hear. Tedward, how are you feeling?
Listen, wait, I'm still in my, like, my post-blueberry, like, fugue state.
Okay.
I just need a refresher real quick as to what my item does.
So let me pull that up. Actually, this could be fun. So everyone here got a fun magic item that was kind of fine-tuned to them and presented by the shop itself. Now, Alaya, you were gifted from your little journey into this kind of strange greenhouse something called the Lucid Diadem, which is this kind of wreath that you put upon your head. It's made of this kind of simple ashen wood that's kind of wound into a knotted form, and sprouting from it are these little purple and cyan petals. And to anyone who isn't attuned to it, being near it, looking at it, makes you feel a little more tired than you thought you would be.
I mean, when you're in very close proximity. When attuned to this item, you heighten your senses while you're dreaming. You're aware if a dream you experience is not your own, like if it was implanted there or manipulated by something. And when you finish a long rest, you can peer into the realm of dream and sense emotional disturbances on the plane of dream at a location that you know the name of. This may allow you to see threats that are hidden and unknown from you in the material plane. These signs will usually come to you in the form of waves of emotion or omens within the dreamscape. It's most useful to peer into places you know you will be going to get a sense of what the future may hold.
Okay, cool.
Hale was gifted a scroll that belonged to a legendary traveler from his homeland. The scroll was wielded by one of the most famous storytellers of his people. And when you latch the scroll and open it, it can take the stories and the texts from this person's life and literally bring them to life with real, tangible power. Hale hasn't opened it yet to see exactly what it does, but it could be good, it could be very bad. You can never really tell at any given moment. Tedward, after meeting the author of his story, was gifted something called the Wraps of the Order, which are these kind of paper-woven gauntlets that wrap around his bare hands, almost like a monk's wraps. And this kind of woven vellum is covered in ink stains. And upon it, you might notice that there are words there, a narration, a memory. One of Tedward's memories, which he can choose to infuse into the gauntlet to protect it from the book's influence and make his own attack stronger. While you wield this, the range of your melee attacks is increased by 5 feet. So when you punch someone, there is a range of force that you can swing past what you normally would be able to hit. And Thurbash, you were gifted something called the Shard of the First Seed, which was a small blackened wood pen. Well, what seemed to be a pen. It looks more like a splinter of wood. And it's reminiscent of a tree struck by lightning. And the black surface of this wood reflects light in very strange ways. Occasionally, when you peek on it in darkness, you can see a faint teal or purple light pulsing from the cracks within the wood. When you're attuned to this, you can perfectly recall any path you've traveled and have advantage on survival checks when you're navigating a place you've never encountered before. Additionally, when you awaken from a long rest, this item becomes attuned to the nearest planar portal of the Feywild. And while you're attuned this way, you feel a gentle tug from the artifact, letting you know which direction the portal's in. Not necessarily exactly where, but more like a compass. And if you look at a map that happens to have a general location of where this portal is, you can cause the pen to point to it, so you know where you're going. And with that, the four of you are standing in front of Bayet. Items anew. Bayet was going, "Everyone else, thank you for coming to my establishment, and I hope you are able to find some semblance of direction and peace here. Is there anything you would like to do or say to Bayet?"
Are we still with Rose?
Yeah, Rose is here with you.
No, I would not. I would like to thank you, Bayet, for all the guidance and the fabric. And then I hold up my pocket.
Thank you for your help. It's a lovely shop.
Thank you very much. We are glad to help and service every one of you in your times of need. Rose, we can consider our favor clean. And Rose goes, "Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Bayet. I appreciate the help, and I hope we see you again soon." And Bayet says, "So where do you need to return to?" And Rose kind of looks to all of you and says, "Well, I think there's some loose ends back in Whispering Lake that might need some tending to. What about all of you? Is there anywhere in particular you're hoping to go?"
"I follow these folk."
"I believe it would be best for us to return to Whispering Lake."
"Pretty sure your Firecat friend is still there, right?"
"Oh, no.
Forgot about him.
Isn't he hanging out in jail torturing somebody?"
"Not torturing.
Isn't he in the sword?"
"I mean, allegedly torturing."
"He's going to be so mad."
"You guys keep forgetting about him.
We got to go pick up Igni."
"You mean, allegedly forgetting."
"Allegedly forgetting."
So with that, Bayette nods their head and motions towards the wall of the shop. And with the flick of a wrist, you watch the darkened wood walls of this begin to twist and curl and form into the shape of a door. And it gently opens. On the other side, you can see... it looks like you're looking through a blurry window, but you think you see a lake and a small town lit. And you see Rose go, well, I guess we'll be on our way. Thank you again, Bayette. If we're ever in need again, I'll see you soon. And Bayette nods. And Rose steps through the blurry window and you watch it ripple like she's stepping through water. What do you all do?
I'll go through that jelly wall.
Into the jelly wall!
It sounds like jelly as Tedward thuds into it. No. Ugh. Gross.
Got a little bit in my ear.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, God.
You guys step through the jelly wall, and Tedward's on the other side picking jelly out of his ears.
Doing that dance like when you get out of the pool and you've got water in your ear.
Oh, yeah.
As you all step out, can someone roll me a d6?
Four.
Four, okay. When you step out, something feels off.
I've got jelly in my ears.
Yeah, man. I mean, you have jelly in your ears. Maybe you think that. But you notice, just looking up immediately, that you all kind of went to Bayette's shop at night. It's easily midday. Like, you guys went over there very, very late at night, and it's like, it looks like it's in the middle of the afternoon. You're not entirely sure how much time has passed while you were in there. Hint, hint, 4 days.
What?
You were in the Feywild.
Oh my god.
At least it wasn't a year.
Yeah, at least it was only 4 days.
Sure.
4 years later, Igni trapped in a sword, angry as ever. I've been abandoned again.
Well, is he in the sword? Technically, he's out and about, right?
He's in the jail watching that dude.
Yeah, we gotta go pick up our kitty.
So you are all on the border of the lake, and Rose goes... I don't know about all of you, but I would like to go check on Constance. I don't know exactly how much time has passed, but I hope by now he recovered. I'd like to talk to him before we plan out our next move. How about all of you?
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, sounds good.
I don't know anybody else in this town.
All right. So some time passes as Rose and the four of you walk your way among the white leaf wood towards Whispering Lake. You enter town and are greeted by the two white and black, you know, leather-painted armor guards that run watch when you first came into town. And you make your way around to, there is essentially a small, what's the exact word for it? I'm trying to remember the word for, it wouldn't necessarily be a doctor's office because it's...
Like a barber surgeon?
Apothecary?
I guess apothecary could work. So
a homeopath?
So yeah, you guys make your way through town and Rose begins asking some people and they lead you to what seems to be a much more up-to-date and functioning apothecary compared to the Callus apothecary, which was abandoned. You're all standing kind of in the lobby of this open building. There's someone behind a large kind of metal top desk and Rose is speaking with them and she turns around and goes, well, the attendant here says that Constance... He woke up a little bit, probably about a day or two ago, and he's been kind of stable. Took him a few days to wake up. I'm going to go talk to him. If any of you want to tag along, you're more than welcome, considering how much you helped me. So, how's that sound?
Yeah, we should go check on him. And then we can go check on Igni.
Okay, so to save up some time, we're going to hand wave through this. You all walk through this apothecary. There are a handful of small sectioned off rooms, each one kind of stuck on its own, and hanging outside there's a clipboard with some paper notes about each patient kind of hidden behind a screen, and the attendant leads you down to a room on the very end of the hall, and they open the door, and sitting inside of this kind of bed that's kind of propped up at like a an angle and bent in the middle, you can see Constance. Next to him is a bowl of soup that has been just freshly finished. And he's lying in bed with some bandages on his arms from the wounds he had taken. And you can clearly see that there is also a vial of some kind of golden liquid on the table next to him. And when Rose open when the door opens and Rose walks in, Constance kind of curls a faint, a warm smile, and then looks towards the rest of you with unease, and Rose goes, "So, Constance, how are you doing? I heard you woke up a little bit. I know it's been a shock. It's been a little while. I haven't seen you, but are you feeling a little better?" And Constance goes,
Foggy. I've been missing the past couple weeks, apparently. But I'm climbing up the hill, so to speak."
And as he says this, he looks kind of towards all of you who are kind of standing in the room.
"I'm sorry. I'm so sorry to anything I did to you."
And he kind of looks down towards, looks away from you with a little bit of shame on his face.
"It's okay. It's been a wild couple of days. Met a dream weasel, punched a ghost."
He still doesn't make too much contact. Does anyone else say anything?
I'm going to be honest. I don't remember what he did to us.
He was, okay, so this is, I knew this was going to happen because it's been a long time. Constance was the man that amulet was possessing. The dream monster, the person that was kind of slowly digging their hooks into you, it was his body being controlled by that monster.
Oh. All right, well then Alea's going to say, "Listen, unless you actually were in charge of your body, like, there's nothing to apologize for."
Roll me a persuasion check.
"Like, why are you apologizing for something you had no control over?" Persuasion. Natural 20.
What?
Aw, yeah. What?
Ringing in the first roll hot. All right. So with this, Constance looks up towards you and kind of looks everyone, looks you all over again. And there's kind of a faint smile. He says,
"And I guess that's a good point. Regardless, I still feel remorse for being weak enough to fall for that creature's particular brand of persuasion."
"We're just glad you're all right. You are all right.
Now I am, you. Thanks to all of you. And I just want to thank you. If there were any other hunters out there, I'm pretty sure they would have just killed me and let me go. Me, you know, banish from the world. But you all took the effort to keep me alive, to help me, to free me from that monster's riches. And I owe you a debt I don't know if I can ever repay."
"Don't worry about it.
No need to."
"Yeah."
Okay. Tedward, uncomfortably shuffling his feet, because if he hadn't been put in a blueberry, he probably would have tried to kill him.
Oh, no.
It's true, though.
I rolled a save.
Saved by the fruit, TM.
Saved by the fruit. I rolled an 8, so he doesn't really notice. But... As you all kind of say this, Rose kind of leans in and goes, "They did get some fun toys from a mutual friend of ours," but... And she kind of pauses for a moment and just leans in and hugs Constance. And you hear her say, "I know we drifted apart after we lost our wards, but keep in touch, all right?" Constance looks up at her and kind of... There's a bit of sadness in his face, and he says,
"I think I will. Yeah. Go ahead. I think I need to rest a little bit. This is taking a lot out of me. Look, be safe on your travels. All of you." And he looks to all of you. "Rose, keep him safe."
And she kind of smiles. You can see there's a little bit of a tear kind of rolling down her cheek, and she wipes it away and says, "I will. We got a good bunch here."
I'm going to throw my arms around whoever's closest to me. Like, you know, like one on one shoulder, and the other on the other shoulder, and just like pull them in and be like, "Happy family."
Yes. Good job, guys. It's so cute. How does that, does anyone else respond to that?
I guess the real question is, who are the two people closest to me?
That's a good question.
I feel like Tedward might be the furthest away because of the feet shuffling.
All right.
If it's Hayley, like, closest.
I am large enough to be considered adjacent.
Pox! Give me a Tedward, you too. Come on. Okay, or not. You stand there.
Constance, I might suggest no more amulets. Just for a while.
No, that, none of that for me.
Maybe not necklaces either.
Gonna be honest, I fished that out of the lake.
And the moment I touched it, that's when I lost all track of my memory.
That is very good to know.
No fishing, got it.
No, I'm still gonna fish. That's my living. I won't be touching anything that comes off the reel that isn't a fish. Unless it's gold.
Still no amulets. Not a good idea.
Noted. You go ahead. I'm gonna call the nurse out there and see if I can get some
fish
pudding.
What if a fish had eaten that amulet?
Oh god.
Oh my god.
And that is the last thing muttered out of Tedward's mouth as all of you kind of disperse out the room, and you look back and kind of see Constance with a puzzled look on his face, and now he looks concerned as the door closes behind you. So Rose, after you guys make your way out of the apothecary and you're out on the street now, Whispering Lake, carts are passing by, the city's busy again, and Rose says, I'm gonna do some last minute check-ins with some folks in town, give them a means to contact me if any other weird things show up. You guys said you wanted to go visit Igni, wherever he might be.
Oh yeah,
probably for the best. He might be very upset.
Y'all forget him a lot.
It's not that we forget him. He just momentarily slips into the back of our minds.
I mean, he's a cat. They come and go.
Well, he doesn't.
Yeah, we remembered. Also, is Tuberi with us? Check pockets.
You find Tuberi comfortably tucked into your pockets, snoozing.
Adorable.
I like how there was a pause, like y'all were fucking waiting for it.
Alright, Tigny!
Okay. So how would you like to find him? I'm pretty sure you have a general idea of where he is, but you can also use the sword to contact him if you wish.
He's at where they're being, where that dude's being held, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to the dude!
To the dude!
Yeah, so you spend some time walking through town and follow all the signs that say the dude, which points you directly to where the town's small kind of jail.
Get a faint scent of white Russian in the air as we walk.
Stunned, didn't there be signs saying the dude?
Yeah, but so you make your way over to where Igni told you he was being kept, though it is behind some tall wrought iron fences, which seems to be, it seems to be that the Thistledowns are keeping him on their property. So you might not be able to just walk up, but if you want to contact Igni from here, you can probably get him to appear.
Igni!
Are you doing that to the sword?
Yes.
You hear a and you look behind you and the ground is charred, and you hear Igni go, that is very demeaning.
Aw, I missed you too, buddy.
What would catnip for Igni be like? Grillmaster charcoal?
Yes, absolutely. I love it.
Hickory smoked.
I'm sorry, did you say hickory? His eyes are big, his pupils are dilating.
Oh, so now you want food. But when I was offering food, it was, I don't eat.
That is not food.
I don't need sustenance.
Did anybody buy the stick of sticks?
I am literal fire incarnate. I do not eat what you consume.
Aw, we missed you, Igni. Hello, grumpy grump. How have you been?
He like leans up against your leg and does the cat rub thing. And then steps away. I've been fine without you.
I smell burning flesh.
Well, as he rubs against you, you notice that it's not hot. Like he has control over it.
That makes two of us.
He kind of walks away. Spins around and sits down.
I have been fine without you.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping an eye on our charge, as promised.
What has he been up to?
About that.
Tedward shares a knowing smile.
He is dead.
Allegedly dead.
No, not very much dead.
Oh, wow, you're just coming
we
right out
there. About this.
Hold on. Okay, now I understand how that sounds. I had nothing to do with it.
Oh. Okay.
That's the attitude.
Well, that didn't work.
For the week or so that I was keeping watch on him, he remained mostly unresponsive.
So he was dead for a week?
No, he was still living. They were caring for him, but he was mostly not responding to what they were doing. He would occasionally eat, move, roll around, but last night he began retching and coughing, and then he suddenly fell still.
Does it seem sinister?
I do not know entirely.
And you're sure he's dead? He's not just unresponsive again?
As far as I can tell, he was very much dead. They took out his body.
What happened last night?
Yes.
Okay, nothing tied to us then.
Where's the body now?
I am unaware. He looks to Elaine and says the length of our promise was not extended to what happened to him after his justice was served.
Should we talk to his family, since they're the ones keeping him?
If you want to.
I mean, does it matter? I mean, not Sarah.
He's dead. Who cares?
I mean, well, was he at all unwell when we handed him over, except for some minor potato-related trauma?
No, he was mostly, like, the weird part about it was after you all had picked him up, he was almost entirely unresponsive to you. He was alive, but unconscious for an unreasonable amount of time.
It was brain damage. Got it.
Dane Bramage.
Potato-based brain damage.
Potato damage?
Starchy.
Now that you mention it, I did notice something odd. His fingernails were black.
Oh, great. He went through an emo phase.
Dane, I knew you were going to make that joke.
And black and crystalline.
Crystalline.
Crystal. Oh, like the shard we found.
I believe so. It may be related, it may not.
Can someone jog my memory? Did he hold the crystal at any point in time?
You guys found him wrapped in the tree where the crystal was sitting. The tree was covered in the crystal.
He was in the ink pit, like the ooze pit.
Yep.
My favorite part.
I don't think he was holding on to anything. He was just in the pit, right? So...
Does that mean exposure did it to him?
Oh.
Which is bad.
Yeah, what if...
That shard is in my backpack.
Well, what if he turns into a black crystal shard person thing?
And I don't think I'd worry about it. I think it's fine.
Like, he's dead, but that doesn't mean that the black crystal's dead, right?
We'll stop, yeah. Good point.
We should probably find that body.
Did we ever get that black crystal analyzed by anybody who wasn't an idiot?
The super big one or the tiny one?
The one that we have.
No, I assume that
we didn't move the super big one.
Bayette looked at it, but they said that they didn't know what it was about. But
this is how the movie Chronicle started.
I'd also note your insight check on that was
low.
Unreasonably low.
Yeah. Player base, they definitely were lying about their knowledge of it.
Oh, Bayette was lying?
Yeah.
But we don't know that.
Yeah.
But we know that.
Yeah. We know that, but we also don't know that.
That's a confusing sentence.
Yeah. We know that we don't know it.
Are there any nearby guards?
So you guys are standing roughly outside the perimeter of the Thistledown Estate, where you originally started your adventure in this town. There are a pair of guards standing at the gates of the estate, but they're not really paying too much attention. They have noticed you, but they recognize you, so they haven't really done anything yet. They're probably about 30, 40 feet away.
I want to walk up to one of the guards. I'm really sorry to bother you. We're looking for a body. Do you know where you take bodies?
Not just anybody.
Yes, not just anybody. Specifically a body with black nails, and no, it's not his color preference.
It sounds hella bad.
This is so bad.
Well, normally we would take them to the cemetery where we bury the dead.
Can you point me in the direction of the cemetery?
They just kind of point to the north of town.
Who are we talking to currently?
One of the guards stationed outside the building.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. And we're looking for... You're in Thistledown, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And a shovel.
Has Lord Thistledown... Is he a lord?
You can just say Mr. Thistledown.
Mr. Thistledown been...
It's like a pet hedgehog.
Buried?
Oh, you're talking about Eunan. Okay.
Yes, we heard of his demise, and we would pay respects.
Shovel respects.
Inside the cemetery, there is a section devoted to the Thistledown family. You can find him there in the middle. It's a kind of a large garden. Though I doubt you'll find Eernan buried there, considering how much hell he's put this town through.
So
it wouldn't hurt to try.
Okay. If he isn't there, though, he could be still in the cemetery.
I guess.
I mean, it's a corpse, so it's probably not going to walk, but...
Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah.
But we'll try the cemetery. Thank you.
Good luck. As you walk away, you can see kind of like a clear look of confusion on this person's face.
Hand him a gold piece for his trouble. Walk away.
The confusion vanishes.
A tuppence for you, my lad.
He pockets and kind of turns it so he's not looking towards you as you walk away. Didn't see anything.
I guess we're going to the cemetery. Yay!
This was an unexpected course, but I dig it. Hey there, listeners, and welcome to the Bin Roll. If you enjoy our show, please take the time to support us by following us on Twitter, reviewing us on Podchaser, or just telling your friends about us. Storytelling is our passion, and especially mine, and I want to bring that passion to as many people as possible. If you want to name an NPC, that's non-player character, for future arts, one-shots, or maybe just want to learn more about the show, check us out at www.toapodcast.com. You can also find us on Twitter, at Tales of Esperon, and Instagram at the same name. This week, we're doing a special cross-promotion with our friends over at Dimension Door Podcast. Their DM, James, and one of their cast members, Liz, have been a good friend of the show for a long time, and they're doing some really great stuff in the tabletop community. So, take it away, James.
Hello, you magnificent podcast listeners out there. I'm James, the producer and GM for the Dimension Door Podcast. If you're interested in listening to a mercenary...
While they're trying to figure out who he is, I kind of walk over and try to shake him to wake him up. Hey, wake up.
A wise woman.
Do not touch my patient, sir. You typically do not shake a man near death.
A doctor...
Is he wearing glasses? Because if he's not wearing glasses, I could slap him, see if I could wake him up. But I wouldn't hit a guy with glasses.
And a nurse.
Well, it's almost like this poor deer here got stuck in some snow or something. He's got some coldness going on in his nose and his ears.
Work together to figure out the mystery of a snowstorm in the midst of summer. Check us out. If that doesn't sound interesting enough, what if I told you that one of them permanently shrinks 10 inches in the first episode? Two of them are bipedal rats, and one of them is literally a witch. We have an award-winning sound designer, a written adaptation of every episode, and a ton of fun. If any of that sounds interesting, check us out as we play through Paizo's Pathfinder Reign of Winter campaign. You can find us at DimensionDoorPodcast.com, on Twitter at DimensionPod, or anywhere you listen to podcasts.
All right, let's get back to the show.
I dig it. But I'm.
Igni, do you have his scent?
It's an odd question, but yes.
So we could also, if he's not at the cemetery, we could also follow your nose.
Follow your nose.
We could, but he. I said I watched him. He died. They took him out. The surgeon came in and pronounced him dead.
Yeah, the thing is, we just need to make sure that this black crystal is not, you know, spreading, doing anything malicious.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess he's too far away. I can't smell him.
All right, to the cemetery!
To the cemetery!
To the wall.
And yes, we scream.
Some time passes, and you guys make your way to the Whispering Lake Cemetery. It's in the north of town, and you make your way. It's actually butted up against the forest. Some of the trees have been cleared away, and before you are these kind of long, low stone walls with these kind of wrought iron fence all wrapping around it. And the gates are open. Above them, you can see, like above the arch of the gate, there is a symbol also made of this kind of wrought iron that depicts a hand clasping a pair of scales, like a skeletal hand holding a pair of scales, which is the symbol of the one beyond, the gatekeeper, like the god of the dead. And you step in, and to breeze through this a little, can I just get a survival check from somebody? Oh, hey, Thurbash, there you go.
Flex your new, having me do that.
Flex your new advantage.
Does this have advantage? Oh, it does have advantage.
You haven't been here before, so.
Nice. Wow. So the first roll would have been a 16, and the second roll was a 15.
Okay, both of which are more than enough. You find it relatively quickly. Again, pieces of the forest here have been cleared out, and there are trees to kind of arrange like a winding pathway into the wood that branches off. But pretty clearly, you can, just by following the main path, you feel a tug in your pocket where the pen is. And your awareness is just kind of pulled a little bit to the left, and you can see the garden. It's tall, there are hedges wrapped around it, and peeking out from behind them, you can see a tall mausoleum. How would you like to approach?
Cautiously. I want to walk over to the... I want to take a peek to the general area and see if there's not anybody around.
Looking around, middle of the day, a cemetery. You pass some folks on the way in who are kind of visiting a grave and leaving flowers behind, but... Nothing, no one out this far. No one coming to pay their respects to the previous rulers of this town.
Cool. I'm going to try and pretend to be as nonchalant as possible.
Can I get a performance check for that?
Okay. I can do that. Performance. That is a 12.
12. Okay. I mean, you look casual enough. Everyone else, you're walking a little funny, but...
I'm just going to walk over to the mausoleum and look at the door and try, or the wrought iron gate, and see if I can, like, see what the mausoleum's about.
Okay, so you peek in through the gate to this small garden. It's currently closed with a chain, but inside, the one thing you do notice is that the path has been recently trodden, like walked upon. And looking in, you can see an arrangement of gravestones. Everyone is kind of very ornate, and kind of intricately carved to reflect the likeness of the person who's passed. And there is one grave at the back that you can see that looks like it's been freshly filled. And it's a simple gravestone with no depictions or markings.
Okay. I'm going to pull out... Can I see to make sure that there's no one in... I mean, like, besides the people that we passed in walking in, there's mm-hmm. nobody in the general area?
Yeah, roll me a perception check.
Okie dokie. Perception. Discrim- check. Wow. That is a 14.
Nobody around, it seems.
Cool. I'm going to pull out a crowbar and a hammer, and I'm going to hand them to Tedward.
You know, neither of these are used for digging.
We need to get through the chain first.
Ah, okay.
Just he grabs it with his hands, breaks it.
That's exactly what I'm gonna do.
Does it look like it's been freshly?
Freshly filled, yeah.
Okay.
Like they buried him recently. He died last night.
I'm gonna flex this chain open.
Alright, give me an athletics check.
Okay. Oh, 19.
DC is 20. You're pulling. The chain doesn't feel like it's bending at all. You can try again.
All right, hold on. I just accidentally hit the X button on the internet instead of refreshing my dice roller.
No!
No! My fat fingers. All right. Oh, no, that's 15. I'm getting 15. Diminishing results here.
Yeah, maybe your hands are getting tired and sweaty, but you're slipping on the chain and it's just not prying apart.
You can see every time I give like a good heave, the book writes a sentence down hopefully and then crosses it out the minute I fail.
Yep. That's exactly what happens.
clear my throat and kind of shake the crowbar in the hand.
I'll take the crowbar.
Okay, just roll me an athletics check.
Oh god.
What did you roll?
A 4.
You hear the book going, like angrily scribbling out the whole page. You hear it tear and it crumples up and flies away.
Wait a minute, can I look around? Is there like an obvious entrance in here that we've been overlooking? Because that would really crown this moment.
Yes.
Alright, we go in there.
You're like frustratingly pulling the bars and you look off to, you're like looking in and you see at the other side of the entrance, there's a clear pathway through the mausoleum.
Alright, I'm gonna go that way.
So you guys make your way around into the mausoleum and or into this garden. You walk through these big kind of marbled arches that kind of frame the structure that leads into this place. And ahead of you are a bunch of, again, gravestones, all marble, all carved in the likeness of the person that passed. And off to the right, kind of out of order with the rest of them, buried off to the side under a tree, you can clearly see there's one unmarked grave that looks like it was recently done, like recently filled. There's no name on the gravestone. There's no markings on the...
Anyone have like a detect magic? Detect evil?
I actually do have detect magic.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, we're all going to have to like spread out because we're all really packing some magic now.
Yeah. Just put it in your bag of holding. I don't think I can detect it through that, I don't think.
Yeah, so you engage detect magic and you don't seem to notice anything magical. Aside from the one or two lamps that are positioned up against the wall of this kind of decorative arch that would obviously turn on at night, you don't detect anything magic. It's peacefully quiet inside this little garden.
What's detect magic's range?
30 feet.
Okay, so that should be through 6 feet of dirt. Okay.
Yeah. You'd be able to detect if he was alive underground or something. Or not alive, but magic were happening underground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sense nothing, people. False alarm, let's go.
See, I told you he was dead. And he just appears next to one of you. Like right at your feet.
Come detect magic, didn't detect him.
He's not magic.
Oh, spiritual. Shit.
He's an actual creature.
A magical creature? He's a flaming cat.
By that logic, the black crystal thing could technically not be magic because it could be just black crystal.
Yeah, it's just a thing.
Hmm.
Yeah, you hear a brief surprise as Igni just suddenly appears at one of your feet. I told you he was dead.
I'm half tempted to still dig up the body.
Is there any sign of the black crystal?
Roll me a perception check.
I got a 22. Yeah, what are these high rolls? What the heck?
Looking around, you don't notice anything. Maybe there's a part of you that's a little unsettled about where they chose to bury him. Mostly because it's very reminiscent of how you found the dragon in the White Leaf Wood beneath a tree. And he was buried underneath this kind of small sapling tree.
Maybe trees are the true enemy.
But no sign of the black crystal?
No.
Even on his hands?
Well, he's, by the way, not on his hands. He's still buried. You guys haven't been garish enough to dig him up yet.
Yeah, we haven't dug him up yet. We're still deciding, I guess.
Hold on. Can we just acknowledge the little quiet don't say that as the purest piece of roleplay that has ever come out of this? Don't say that.
Are we really about to unbury this dude?
The word you're looking for is exhumed. But yeah.
I think
good word.
I think we have almost a requirement to do so.
I'll do it. Give me that crowbar.
I'll hand him the crowbar.
I mean, let's go.
I look at it and I'm like, this is like a very small gap-tooth shovel.
The obscure knowledge.
No, remember, I'm trying to kind of like sort of shoehorn this into my skill that lets me use an improvised weapon as long as I can justify it. I mean, I'm just thinking of it as a tiny buck-toothed shovel.
Roll an attack on the grave?
20 quarters?
Oh my god, nat 20!
You successfully kill the grave. You dig your tiny, tiny gap-toothed shovel in, and it sinks into the dirt, and you pull up about a 3-inch little hole, big enough to put a potted plant.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my god.
I do that 900 more times.
Okay.
I was gonna say I could turn my weapon into a war pick, which would make it easier, but it takes me an hour to do it.
I think this would just like be faster with my hands.
So, yeah. Well, you're digging with your hands and just kind of pulling up dirt. 10 minutes passes. There's a lot of dirt, and you just have your hands. 20 minutes.
Do I notice? Well, hold on a second. This is a relevant Tedward question. Do I notice anything odd about the dirt?
No. It's freshly dug. Like they gather. Dug it up. And
I mean, even if it hadn't been, it would be by virtue of
fisting it out of the ground. You started digging. But yeah, you're digging down and down. After about a half hour of digging with your bare hands, and everyone else watching, you feel one of your hands thunk impact against a casket.
Okay.
Did you find it?
Yeah, I found the casket. I'm gonna knock politely.
Oh. Damn it. That didn't merit the reaction I expected. I knocked back and I was expecting you all to go.
I assumed you were just providing effects for my knock.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, so you knock on the casket. The weird part about it is when you knock on it, it doesn't sound hollow.
All right, I think now is the crowbar time.
Hand him the partially dirty crowbar.
All right. I'm going to try to pry the lid off this crowbar. That basket.
Pry the lid off the crowbar.
All right, I'm not even going to make you roll. You quickly pry this off because it's very clearly not like a well-made casket. It's just made of like simple boards of wood. And you pry it open, and there's a sheet in there kind of wrapping up the form of a person. You reach forward and pull back the sheet, and you can clearly see the face of Irnin Thistledown. Though grayed and lifeless, his eyes are closed.
I would like to check his fingernails.
You pull the sheet back further and look down at his fingernails, and you do in fact see that they are kind of flecked with black crystal.
Are we able to see this, or is it only Tedward?
I mean, all of you can see it. You're all looking for the same thing.
I'm gonna just check the rest of him, I guess.
Okay.
It's interesting. This is a non-Tedward observation. It's interesting. It's coming out of it in his fingernails, because that's how they check for a lot of toxins when they exhume dead bodies if they think they've been poisoned. Is the body will let it grow out into the fingernails and the hair.
What I can say to that is based on how he's buried, I don't think they care.
Interesting.
Like, he's clearly not marked like everyone else.
He pissed off a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just meant in real life, like, if you want to see if someone's poisoned, sometimes you could just check their hair. Can I, like, just check the rest of him? Like,
yeah, give me an investigation check.
Teeth hair. Oh man, that's wisdom, isn't it?
No, it's it's intelligence.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah, he's dead. You're holding him by the leg.
That's a 12.
With a quick look over his body, you don't find anything odd aside from the black crystal. Looking him over, you do find one thing. Inside of his breast pocket, there are 2 silver coins, which when you pull them out, they're emblazoned with the symbol, the same symbol that you saw as you walked over the cemetery. Maybe it's part of a burial rite, but...
Did you strip him?
So that's probably not legal tender.
Probably not.
Damn it.
But I mean, it could be in other towns.
I'm gonna reach into my pack and pull out a dagger. And I'm going to hand Tedward the dagger with the hilt towards him. Perhaps we should... I know it's very rude to dismember a body, but those fingernails scare me. Maybe we should take them off?
Thought you were going to ask me to check if this guy was faking it, I say as I'm violently shaking the body by the shoulders.
No, I think he's dead.
I'm not going to take this guy's fingernails off. That's gross.
Well, you don't have to take only his finger. You could just take his hand.
I'm not doing that either.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're shaking him and there's no response.
He's very dead.
We could just burn him.
I personally don't like burning things.
But you're okay with giving this guy a knife manicure. But you don't want to light him on fire.
Well, I don't know why I don't like fire, but I don't want to do it in a cemetery in the middle of the day.
Wait, you don't know why?
No, I don't know why. I don't remember. But it's not important. What's important now is I really don't think we should be leaving any crystal nonsense behind underground. I have a bad feeling about it.
Not underground anymore.
I mean, alone, left alone, especially in a cemetery, because bad things happen to cemetery. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Where's your proof?
I don't have any.
All right, then.
Fine, just cover him back up, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to start filling this hole back in.
Okay.
I can't wait for the bonus in the ass. I can't wait.
After some time, you fill in the hole. And as you are, you're pretty close to the end. And you hear footsteps crunching on the gravel of the path into the wood, or into the cemetery. Not far off, but you can hear it because of how quiet the cemetery is.
It's coming.
Haley, quick. Just talk to them. Convince them that everything's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, just burying a body over here. It's all
no, not go direct them away from us.
Wow, I rolled stupid low. They didn't hear it. Thorbash was able to leap up fast enough and cover your mouth.
Yeah, they will wander over to see who it is first off.
Okay. You walk over to the gate and peek through, and you can clearly see there is just a couple making their way through the cemetery. One of them is holding a wreath, like a bouquet of flowers. Another has a candle, unlit, but they're carrying it, probably going to a grave nearby. They're not walking towards where you are. They're just walking past it.
It is a real good thing we did not dig up the right the wrong grave. Like, it was unmarked. We really, not to get too meta here, but we really rolled the dice on that.
I mean, we knew that he would probably be somewhere near the royals, because the guards didn't lie, as far as we knew. Right? Maybe? I don't know.
Anyway, Haley will hunch over in a solemn, sad state and just walk back as inconspicuously as possible.
Okay, yeah, you walk over. They don't even seem to notice you. One of them kind of looks over and sees you, but, like, just the fact that you aren't really paying them much mind, they do the same to you in kind out of respect. They assume you're grieving.
Gotta finish burying his body.
Yeah, so you guys halt the procedure until they pass. You take a peek out of the arch, and you see that they've turned a bend further into the wood and are gone. And then I guess you continue reburying him.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, does it have to be the full 6 feet, or can we just, like, you know?
Tedward is not going to leave a hole unfilled.
Just salt bay some soil on there and walk away.
Salt bay some soil?
Out of character, but number one, not removing the crystal is bad, but then burying him in a shallow grave is also bad.
You're not wrong. Okay. So Tedward takes the time to bury him. After another 10-15 minutes, you guys start to help to kind of speed things up after you saw someone go by. And just in time you can kind of see that the forest is turning a faint orange color. And the sun is kind of getting lower. And you finish up, step out of the kind of mausoleum and start to make your way out of the cemetery. Or not the mausoleum, the garden. And start to make your way out of the cemetery.
In the in the last 5 minutes before we finish up everything, I'm going to pull out an incense stick and say a quick prayer over the grave, just in case.
Okay.
Just as a precaution.
Do you have anything in mind for that, or just want to hand
it? No, it's just going to be him, like, holding one incense stick in his hand and basically something along the lines of, like, really sorry to disturb you. We didn't really mean to do it harm. We just were being sure that you aren't bad. And, you know, what's the god of death's name?
The one beyond.
The one beyond.
Or also known as the gatekeeper.
Mr. Gatekeeper, we're not trying to impose. We're just making sure everything's okay. Really sorry. Have an extra incense stick on me.
Roll me a religion check.
Okie doke. This is going to be great. That's an 18, natural.
As you're saying this, you hear a noise that makes you kind of startle, and you hear just a crow call. And you look up, and you can see perched on one of the hedges is a crow that's kind of looking at you as you say this.
I'm going to leave two extra incense sticks.
Yeah, when you stop, it just gets up and flies away.
So I will remove 3 sticks of incense. I'm down to 2.
Okay. Is there anything else you would like to do here before going up to meet Rose?
I think we've done enough.
Yeah.
I did not have exhume a grave in my notes, but
should we check to see if it's affecting the other bodies? Exhume another nearby grave just to make sure.
Saying this as you're walking out.
Just putting the idea out there.
I mean,
we already did one. What is 2 gonna do?
Not really. I mean, no one else.
You can only get so damned.
I don't have enough incense sticks to pray over every single grave we unbury.
Well, how about this? You go get more. We'll get started on the next body.
Oh my god, you are like, you guys are so nice and wholesome sometimes, like that group hug, but now this is a moment was the opposite of that.
Now that we're really thinking about it, it's like when they give you more than a life sentence, when they give you like 400 years in jail, it's not like they can damn you for eternity plus.
I mean, like, for real though, can they?
I don't know, I'm not God.
I think it might be best to leave it lie. Worst case scenario, we come back later and deal with whatever happens then.
When it already went wrong?
We've already done more than enough. One grave a day is okay. More than that, probably very bad.
One grave a day keeps the zombies away.
Okay, so you're all standing now at the gate of the cemetery, and Igni, who has been kind of quietly following along, goes,
"That was one of the more morose things I've ever seen a companion do. I did not think we would be digging up a grave today."
We had to check.
Guess again, motherfucker.
Oh no, Igni.
Aleia.
Yes.
Are you satisfied that our agreement has been kept to?
I'm going to look around at the other team members. See if any nods, head shakes. No?
I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's done. But does that mean Igni's going to go off?
I was not asking them. I was asking you.
Ooh. Yes. I think our promise has been fulfilled.
Good.
But what are you going to do now, Igni? Do you want to come with us?
I could. I've never been left with this kind of decision before. Normally I am summoned and bound.
You're free to do what you want. Just know that we'd love to have you.
I will remain in the vessel and consider this.
No rush.
Before you even finish your sentence, Igni bursts into flames and you watch the flames dance around towards Hele and sink into the sword.
Okay.
And that's not a magic cat. I mean, I've seen cats do some weird shit, man.
As our adventurers walk away from the Whispering Lake Cemetery, their minds are eased by the lack of this crystalline corruption in the corpse of their recently claimed bounty. No infested trees or crystalline abominations awaited them there. Their uneasy conversation echoes through the Whispering Lake Cemetery and slowly trails off into the distance as they make their way to meet Rose. Though, Arview lingers here at the Garden of the Thistledown Mausoleum. Among the headstones lining this quaint garden, the carved faces of the Thistledown lineage stare silently across the path at each other, their stern marble visages set with a cold gaze facing forward, each a face of the stark pride of the Thistledown family, each serving as a harsh reminder of what it means to be a Thistledown, cold, calculating, and brutal when necessary. As the sun sets here, the light slowly leaves this place, creeping along each headstone until we are left in near darkness. With each passing moment, this garden grows more still. From the small juvenile tree at the base of Irnan's grave, a drop of black, glittering liquid seeps from its thinnest branch and plops gently onto the fresh soil below. One, then two, then three. These drops fester and spread across the soil, eventually vanishing from our view. Then, the silence of this hallowed place is broken once more by the single beat of a buried heart. The fury of the stars is coming. Bereavement awaits. Hey everybody, and thanks for sticking around at the end of the show. I hope you're as happy as I am to be getting back into our story so soon. Our songs and ambient music for this episode are features from Kevin MacLeod and Sword Coast Soundscape, which you can find in our episode description and on Bandcamp. With the end of this episode, I have some very exciting news for you. We've been extremely busy during our hiatus to ensure there's plenty of content for all of you to enjoy, and we've been building a pretty healthy backlog. If you take a stop by our Twitter and Facebook pages, you'll find a trailer for our newest project, The Gilded Lily. This story is a separate campaign from the Tales of Asperon main feed, but it's occurring in the same world, in the same canon as this very show. You'll get to follow the story of four Wizard College dropouts who accidentally become pirates. There will be dinosaurs, deep sea adventure, and the cries of me being tortured by a party that can all use spells like Firebolt and Magic Missile. Please send help. Anyways, we'll be releasing the show on the off weeks between our normal episodes of Tales of Asperon. This means you get twice the content that you did before, in the same exact amount of time. I can't wait. Stay healthy, and see you soon.
Okay, I don't know about you guys, it's 6:30. I didn't expect it to be doing a cemetery dive, but we're right at an hour, which is kind of where I was expecting this to be.
Right.
I could do another body.
That's what I said, we should do it. No.
Grave robbing montage.
Benny Hill music.
You're all singing the same tune. The shovels are hitting into different graves at the same rhythm.
We could all make bets. How many we can go through before getting caught?
You're describing the opening scene to the movie Holes.
We got lucky enough not to get caught after one body.
They weren't coming anywhere near us, all right? All I had to do was walk up and back, and they weren't coming near us.
And it was also a body that, I mean, not many people cared about. Imagine digging up a body that people actually care about.
See, but that's what makes the gambling good. We were trying to prevent future toxin evil crystal from spreading.
Yeah, but if it's going to spread through that body, it's going to spread to other bodies now because it's in the dirt with other bodies.
Evil crystal sounds like a mean stripper.
I was going to say hard cut to a different town in a different jail. And there are two guards holding someone. There's a big, big bag of gold from stuff they've stolen from a grave. And he's going, I tell you, it was a zombie. I was trying to stop zombies. Yeah, they're always trying to stop zombies.
There is something that Tedward did to the body without telling any of the other team members because he knew they wouldn't understand.
Okay, what is it?
He jammed a potato in his mouth before he reburied it.
Roll me a sleight of hand check because they were watching you.
Oh, please let me see.
10. He thought he was being sneaky.
Everyone else roll. Igni saw it.
My passive is 11.
Oh, your passive is more than enough. Yeah, what's your passive?
15.
Okay. Hey, Lay, what's yours?
10, but I rolled an 18.
Okay, yeah. You all clearly saw Tedward, like, look around. He had, like, the sly eyes on, and he just took out a potato and went, and then continued to bury him.
I think it's better that nobody did anything than that the potato's just there.
Like, you guys could have stopped him.
Yeah, I was going to say, last time someone tried to stop him from putting a potato in someone, he, like, put a bag on his head and attacked a guardhouse.
That's true.
My question is, how many potatoes does he have?
I don't know. I think it's a, what's the word? It's like a Hammerspace bag of just potatoes.
No, I've got, like, 3.
You actually keep inventory of it. Yes!
Session. No self-respecting farmer would not inventory their potatoes, Mike.
Session 150, we learn that Tedward was actually just a clump of potatoes the entire time.
Very good clump of potatoes.
Okay. Clumpa.
You'll soon get attacked by your own tool.
Oh my god, is like a black crystalline possessed potato gonna rise from the grave?
No. Oh my god, wait, no, in the previous episode we made jokes about a mashed potato monster.
Your stomach thinks that all potatoes are mashed.
Oh, very true.
I don't like that thought.
It's a cursed thought.
I don't like it.
Oh, this has been great.
Prove me wrong, come on.
Yeah, but that's like the whole, like, now your stomach is thinking.
Your stomach does think.
I hate it.